Welcome to episode 103 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution, Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 30th of June and the 4th of July 2014. We didn't have the 4th of July.
Don't say it.
We don't have the 4th of July in this country.
No. It's 2nd of July is more important than this country because it's my birthday.
It's Leanne's birthday.
My birthday. I had a lovely birthday and I got a Coronation Street book from our friend Sarah called The Rover's Return, the official Coronation Street companion by Tim Randall.
Wow.
I haven't read it yet, but
You've
when I do,
I've
been looking at the first page. It looks quite good. It's quite thick. It looks.
I had to stop you from reading it at your own birthday party.
Yeah, I was being very antisocial. No, I only read the first few pages. It looks good. It's like a guide to the Rovers and all the landlords and landladies and Rovers stories and stuff. It came out last year and then I forgot about it when I was making my Christmas list.
What?
So I put it on my birthday list and yeah, I'll have a read and then I'll say about it in the news section when I finished it. This is the news. I finished the book. I'll say what it's like.
Okay. It's called a review.
Also, I think we need to have top news at the beginning of this podcast. Are you allowed to drink water during Ramadan? We have the answer. We've got the exclusive Conversation Street answer to the question that was raised. And this is Coronation Street. Gemma?
No.
Thank goodness for that. Not even water!
You're not allowed to drink or eat or smoke or have sex during...
Not even oral.
Oh, God. No, it's okay as long as it's not during the day.
Okay.
Do whatever you like at night, apparently.
I think with that not even water, Coronation Street just like got rid of any hope of introducing a Muslim family in a kind of normal, natural way. It's like...
I do not know what was that was about.
Like, we've found these people called Muslims and they have this thing called Ramadan. Let's bring them in when they're having their Ramadan and then we'll make a joke out of it because we don't usually talk about this in these parts. It's a bit... I thought that with Cal, they were like introducing his family and culture in a bit of a natural way, but it was a bit too awkward today.
I don't know. I think it would be how you would... I didn't get the not even water thing because it sounded like it was a joke that they... Like, is this a thing that people always ask them or something?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But it seemed... Yeah, it seemed like there would be... It was a bit too much of a novelty or something.
I don't know.
It'd be like somebody asking Emily, like, I don't know. No sex before marriage, Emily.
Not even
if they're hot. Oh, anyway. Yeah, we've met nearly all of the Nazirs now, just not this son who was too busy tweeting on his phone or something.
Yeah.
Trying to introduce them gradually to get us used to them.
During Ramadan.
Not even... I don't know.
Not even at Conversation Street.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was just a little introduction. I don't know why we did that.
Because it's very important to know.
We can move on now to Corrie history.
Oh, yes, that's important to know. 40 years ago, since soldier Martin Downes showed up at the Rovers to find Bet, who was his birth mum, but she'd given him up at birth because she was too young. And, he saw that what kind of person she was, let's say, and left without even saying hello.
I remember that.
You didn't watch
I've
it.
You've seen it in
Clitcher. And then he went and got himself killed in a car crash.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. 15 years since the first appearance of Doreen and Derek Havey.
Havey. I spelt it wrong. Maxine's parents. I thought Doreen was cool. I really like Maxine's mum. She was like bimbo grown up.
Hmm.
It's very sad that she didn't appear after Maxine died. She didn't hang around.
Oh, well, we know what that's like.
What do you mean?
And Tina's mum won't bugger off.
Oh, yeah, but she has. She has.
Thank God for
she
that.
Really was an utterly pointless character, like we predicted she was. Maxine's mum was cool, though.
Wow.
Can't remember about her dad much.
She's dead now. Yeah. 10 years
what?
Since Jack sold...
Maxine's mum's not dead.
Yes, she is. 10 years since Jack sold his unwanted exercise bike to Ernie Crabb. Well, I'm glad you recorded this.
This is important because it was a guest appearance by Norman Wisdom. And it was all a bit embarrassing, I remember, because that was the 2nd of July on my birthday episode. And yeah, they had Norman Wisdom jogging down the street, being totally hammy acting and being out of breath and stuff. And it was a bit weird.
Well, I don't think he knows any other way of acting.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago. And that is it for Corrie history. So shall we talk about this week's Coronation Street?
Yes, let's. Street talk, and we've got five main storylines this episode. The Rodwell incident.
But that's been really good this week. More awesome Michael.
And Leanne's intergalactic adventures, which I thought was a particular highlight, thanks to Nick. My favourite brain-damaged mental patient.
He was brilliant this week, Wednesday and Friday.
He's back on top form. I was worried that he had slid back into boring Nick.
We'd worried that he'd recovered.
I was beginning to fear that he was back on the straight and narrow. But no, he's still mad, and I love him.
On top form.
Yes. Todd, which is not...
Oh, no, we haven't got any... I forgot, we haven't got any titles for these.
Andrea, also not a pun.
Andrea's other husband. No.
Don't
know. No, I haven't got one.
And run out blood of orange.
Yeah, which is barely even in
She's
it.
She's running out of juice.
Yeah, that was more like Cougar Carla this week, wasn't it? Because I think she's going after that Luke.
Let's get to it at the end.
Okay, so Rodwell incident then.
Max is going mad.
Yeah, it was kind of a mixture of a storyline between what was going on with Max and Michael.
The only way to be an interesting character if you're slightly dull is to go mad. So he seems to be developing ADHD or something.
That's what I was going to say. Is it going to turn into an ADHD storyline? Is he going to get some diagnosis or something? And he's going to be on Ritalin and then...
What are they going to do about it? What is the message going to be? What do Coronation Street writers think when they think ADHD? Because in my mind, maybe I'm prejudiced, but I can imagine them thinking, oh, ADHD is a made-up diagnosis and they just need a good slap.
I can imagine. You know what I mean? I think it might be a case where Coronation Street are a bit behind the times.
I know.
Like they can be, and it's because ADHD and all that was kind of... Really in, well,
in
not
about
in.
5 years
Yeah, getting your child diagnosed with it. Yeah, exactly. And
it was the buzzword.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's not anymore. It's kind of old news now.
Yeah, but so I think.
But where are they going with it? What's the point of the storyline?
Oh, it could be something to do with dealing drugs, Ritalin at the school gates or something, maybe.
Yeah,
they'd have that new head teacher at Bessie Street School.
Go and listen.
Crashing down the
Kylie, I'm going to get your kid diagnosed with ADHD and you give me half the profits.
Yeah, so Max is going a bit mad this week. But it's okay because he can go on a nice relaxing holiday to Barbados, it looks like, next week, because Becky is opening a new hotel there. Sounds like she is definitely still going up in the world.
She's living the high life.
It's nice to know that she's still doing well there. I assume she's still with that same fella that she flew off with.
I honestly think that Becky is one character that they mention more than any other character who's left.
Yeah, apart from Tommy.
Well, for that brief period of time, it's all anyone could talk about.
It's good. I think she's going to carry on being...
But do you not think so? Because they're always talking about her.
Yeah, they mention a fair amount compared to other...
Yeah, there's loads of other characters who've been in it who never mentioned again.
Or have got, like, brothers and sisters, and Debbie Webster.
The most they ever get is the day of the wedding. Oh, so-and-so just phoned me up and they're not coming to the wedding.
Yeah, for
whatever
reason.
Can't make it because blah-de-blah.
Yeah, so they're going to... Well, no, Kylie wants to go off to Barbados, but David is worried about taking Max out of school because they might get fined.
Ding, ding, correct.
That is very current, because since September this year, or last year, if you take your child out of school... During term time, you'll get a fine by it. Head teachers aren't allowed to authorise absence anymore.
They're not fined by it at all.
They're not fine about it. so David's worried about
that. That would be my slogan if I was in the government.
We're not
taking your kid out of school. We're not fine about that.
Well, Kylie...
How much is it? How much should you get
I honestly don't know because we haven't fined anyone at our school.
You should be on this.
What?
You should know.
I don't know. It's nothing to do with me.
What do you mean it's nothing to do with
me? I don't set the fines. Anyway, Kylie doesn't care because she's obviously rolling in it from all her nail doings that she does at the
salon. Nail doings?
And she's going to go anywhere without him, but she tries to spend the whole episode convincing David to go with her. So,
Max behind.
We're reintroduced to Michael again later that episode. He did a funny little double take and a running off, didn't he? He was walking down beside the salon and he saw... David and Kylie coming down the other direction and
went whoopsie
and then crashes into Steph.
Whoopsie!
But then he goes around to see Gail later and he's like, I can't leave it as it was. How did they even leave it last week?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Just listen to the podcast.
Oh, hadn't he just run off because Kylie and David had told him to sling his hook, basically?
Well, every single time David and Kylie see him, they tell him to sling his hook, so...
Yeah. Do you think David is seriously just worried about Gail, or I think part of it...
He just likes annoying her.
Yeah, I think he likes annoying her. I think he doesn't like the idea that Gail's attention will be focused on someone else and not him.
And I also think he doesn't want him hanging around his house.
Yeah.
Because don't forget, everyone says, oh, broke into Gail's house. He didn't break into Gail's house. He broke into David and Kylie's house.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
And everyone seems to have forgotten this. Even Gail seems to have forgotten, it's not her house.
Well, he's got a job and a bedsit in some dodgy estate that all the ex-cons go to. It didn't look very nice, did it?
No, it didn't.
And he was like saying, oh, I was a fool to have thought you'd sent that letter. Sure, how could somebody as wonderful as you ever fancy somebody like me?
And Gail went, oh, well, I am quite wonderful.
But he gets kicked out by Kylie anyway later. What's this? Oh, yeah. I forgot you've written some funny notes there. Yeah. Insert Michael. Oh, yeah, he's got his little foot tag, hasn't he?
Yes.
Because he got let out of prison early, he's got to be all tagged up. And, yeah, I just mentioned to Gemma when we were watching this that part of my oral exam at, in my degree, I had to talk about electronic foot tags.
What's that in German?
Elektronische Fußfessel or something like that.
I almost got that right.
Yeah, that was not bad. Yeah. There's my little anecdote of the week.
Electronic
my German speaking buffer. Exam at university, I had to speak about electronic foot tags.
And what did you say? Did you say they were quite itchy?
I can't remember anything that I said about them. I had to say whether they were good or not, or whether they should just stay in prison. I don't know. But anyway, he clears off because of Kylie.
Yeah. Kylie then gets a phone call from the school.
Yeah, there's a new head teacher there now Brian's left. And Max has been kicking off. So this new woman who seems...
This new woman?
She's a bit snooty. She's very different from Brian, isn't she? She actually seems competent at her job.
Ooh, intimidating.
Yeah. They had that funny scene of David and Kylie sitting outside the head teacher's office on the most minuscule chairs that they could ever find, I think. I don't think they would actually get guest assist on those.
No, I really don't. I think they must have human-sized... Yeah. Chairs.
Because they were like pushing each other over, laughing and stuff, and then the head teacher calls them in.
Very naughty.
Anyway, the head teacher says that Max is troubled and wants to know if there's anything going on at home. They bring up the fact that there had been marital problems between him and Kylie.
David
but it's all
brings
good now.
This up, and Kylie doesn't really want to discuss it.
No,
and she pretends that it's all good and there's nothing. It's not fair enough. If there's an issue that needs to be spoken about,
The issues between Kylie and David that were at Christmas pretty much are all sorted over now,
aren't
they?
So you don't think it's going to have any effect at all?
Well, I don't know. Because it's only been in the last couple of weeks that they've decided that Max is now gone hyper.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. They just get a bit of a warning from the head teacher, basically, don't they? So yeah. Then Kylie treats Max to a cake. As if he isn't hyper
enough.
Well,
he demands a cake and she lets him have one, and David's not happy about it because he says that this is part of the issue, that she just caves in. And she also says, oh, we're going to go see Becky next week. And he goes, David's really annoyed because he's like, well, you've just used Max to get what you want without asking me or seeing if it's all right with me. And he is right. She is part of the problem.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She doesn't really care about... Well, she obviously doesn't care about his education.
She doesn't care about being a good parent. She wants Max to like her.
Yeah. After she tried to sell him as a
which
young
child. Yeah, it just shows her insecurity, doesn't it? Because she doesn't have much in her life. She's got a very precarious upbringing and stuff. She probably is desperate for love and affirmation, and she can get it very easily from Max by just giving him what he wants. It doesn't really affect her, or she doesn't think it does, but in the long run it's going to obviously have an impact.
Yeah, definitely. So anyway, well, yeah, we have that scene later with Sally going over to Gail's later, and even Sally's saying to Gail, look, you've got to be really careful around Michael. Then David and... Did Nick come in now? I can't even remember. But Gail's like, no, I like Michael, get over it.
Michael's so dreamy.
So Kylie says, she's like, oh, so Michael's a problem, is he? If I sort him out, can we go to Barbados? So they have to go off to the garden centre. And I don't think it was filmed at Daisy Nooks, which is the garden centre in Manchester that we went to. Yeah, the only garden centre I know in Manchester. Yeah. But I tweeted them, and he said that Michael Rodwell didn't pass the security measures or something back. He got back to me. No, so they go around to this garden centre, and then
Kylie's having a go at him, and then she realises that Max has gone missing. So they realise he is stuck in a shed. So Kylie decides that the best course of action is to kick the door down, which she does and wrecks it. And then the boss comes over, and Kylie starts telling him to watch out because they're employing a criminal.
Yeah, and the boss is like, yeah, I know all about this. He doesn't seem to have a problem. But then he fires Michael anyway.
Well, no, because Kylie keeps going on and on and on about it. And then he kind of thinks, well, this is causing too much aggro. I should just get rid of him if this is what it's going to be like.
But surely that's unfair dismissal. Or are there different rules if you employ ex-cons? I don't know.
Well, what are you going to do? What's he going to do about it? He was there. He was in the middle of a fracas, and he was a customer was complaining about him. I don't think you can really.
The boss must have known what this complaint was about, and the fact that he hadn't done anything wrong. I just don't know what grounds he had to really dismiss him.
Didn't like him.
He hadn't done anything wrong with his job.
Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter because it served as a plot point for the rest of the week because Gail has decided that she's going to do whatever she can to get Michael back on track at the end of the episode because he comes storming around their house later, number 8, and he's like, oh, I've lost my job thanks to you. And David and Kylie have obviously got no sympathy, but yeah, Gail's like, oh, I'm gonna help and sort you out with a job.
Well, she says to them, you need to apologise and I'm going to help.
Get him on track, yeah. Well, Gail's got her own job to worry about on Wednesday's episode because she's been demoted back to cleaning again. Mrs. Mop, what she can do best. It's a bit sad, really, because I think Gail could obviously do a lot better than cleaning. And she got the reception job, it was a bit of a step up.
To be fair, of the two, Katie is more qualified to be demoted because Gail's got previous experience being a receptionist.
Yeah.
So Katie should be the cleaner.
Yeah.
Just because she's a pretty face.
I know. Well, yeah, Sharif, that's what it is.
Fair dismissal for you.
Sharif just wants to have a pretty face at his gym, doesn't he? But anyway, David and Kylie go to Nick for help later on in that episode. They want him to help Gail see sense, and he agrees, and he's in a bit of a huff because of what's going on with Leanne. So he goes over to the gym, and he's furious to find out that Gail's working as a cleaner because of Alia there. He blames Cal for it and everything.
You think Cal's trying to get back at him?
Yeah, which kind of is bleeding into another storyline. But anyway, he also says that she's being taken advantage of by Michael and Gail. There's like, no, get lost.
No, I'm not.
Don't disturb me at work. So she goes over to see Michael again because she's getting a little bit obsessed by him herself.
He keeps going round there.
She does fancy him, doesn't she?
I don't know if she fancies him at the moment or if she's just flattered by all of these ridiculous compliments that he's paying her. Like, oh, Gail, you're such a brilliant, kind person. You're so caring and loving and generous. Who wouldn't want to hang around someone who thought the sunshine out of your bum? Especially when at home, even our own flesh and blood even seem to want her to be around.
Yeah, they don't appreciate her, do they? So
no, she's going around there again. He's literally the only person who appreciates her in the whole world.
And yeah, he does seem like he would be good for her.
Apart from all the criminal stuff.
Well, yes, but that's the thing. Does he have all the criminal stuff? I can't even remember. Did he even say that he'd never done burglary before? I've never actually stolen anything. I can't remember how much of a criminal past he had or whether it was a one-off that he was driven to.
Did he even steal anything?
No, I don't think so.
He just wandered into her house. If he had played his cards right, he could have just said he forgot it wasn't where he lived. You mean he looks middle class enough to have gotten away with it? Oh, sorry, I thought I was waiting in Waitrose, so I wondered where all the mung beans were.
Well, he's been burgled himself on Wednesday.
Oh, no! How ironic!
Yeah, they've taken everything and wrecked the rest.
Gail says, don't worry, I'll help you find a job.
Yeah.
So, she goes to Streetcars and says, look, guys, I've got you a new receptionist, even though you don't need one. Oh, you do, because you sacked Todd. and he is he's brilliant. I met him at bingo, but he's got a criminal record. Don't worry about that. And everyone says, oh, don't worry. We've all been there.
Yeah.
Because they're a bunch of crims, really, aren't they?
Well, Steve was very down on the fact that Michael is a criminal and he's just come out of prison. But, yeah, lest we forget that he's been in jail himself. His dad is currently in jail.
Let's not also forget that Eileen got in trouble with Owen for trying to embezzle money out of him.
Yeah, double standards. But anyway, they do agree to give him a trial period.
It's steal things if it's you that's stealing it.
Yeah. It's because he needs this job, doesn't he, to kind of get out of this horrible hostel.
It's a little flat, isn't it? He wants to escape his impoverished surroundings.
That's the thing, they were making the big thing about what a horrible area he was living in. So, I mean,
but wasn't he homeless before then, anyway?
I can't remember whether he was supposed to have been homeless or not, possibly. Don't know.
We need to do a character profile on him.
Anyway, David and Kylie find out. He's obviously not very happy about that at all. So he goes around and talks to Nick, and they agree they're going to take a more direct approach with Michael, which they do on Thursday's episode.
Go around there and rough him up.
Yeah. Well, before that, Gail went round, didn't she? Because she's giving him a new shirt for his new job. And he does go in for a hug, I saw, but she kind of smiles and backed off and left. So he's obviously is... I don't think it was a I love you hug, even though...
He obviously her.
He does
it
kind
was
of
like
fancy
a thank
her,
you
yeah.
hug.
And he appreciated this letter that Kylie sent. It was a thank you hug, but because she,
of the
I
history.
Think, yeah, because she does kind of maybe fancy him a little bit, and she doesn't want to.
No, Michael, my animal instincts will take over.
Exactly. She goes, but he's like smiling as he shuts the door, which is all quite sweet. But later on, David and Nick go over there, and that was quite a good scene, wasn't it? Because it was very tense. Starts off kind of quiet with a bit, voices raising by the end of it, and ends it up crazy Nick shouting at him to stay away, threatening him, and like saying, "Oh, I've got my brain damage, and I can use it."
People would believe that I could do anything.
Yeah,
I'm crazy.
Very, very creepy. And he didn't shake his hand at the beginning, but then he gives him this crazy-eyed shake hand at the end.
This has been one of Nick's finest weeks.
It all depends on whether you like think it's been a bit too sensationalised, because I think some people have kind of got over that. I think some people have just preferred to have seen him get better, because it did look like he had been.
I want him to stay like this forever. I really, really do.
I don't know how long they can keep him staying like this forever, as much as I like it.
There are cases where people have had brain damage because of accidents or you know, things like this. And they do, genuinely, forever. They change their personality because the brain is just damaged. It doesn't grow back.
Yeah. I don't know whether...
I would love it.
All I know is I'm really pleased that they've kept him like it so long, because usually when you're at death's door 1 week on Coronation Street, next week you're fine. So they're doing a good job changing him, and he was an incredibly dull character before he had this accident.
He is just one of my favourite characters right now. I want to give him, what's our award for the best man?
Top lad.
Nick is my top lad of 2000.
It's just a shame that the other major storylines he's involved in are just these back and forth boring old love triangles between him
and
Leanne.
Think how deadly boring the Leanne storyline would be without Nick.
It is mostly. It's just, it's much better when he's...
Stop being down on Nick. He's my favourite character.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think he's great. He was funny in tonight's episode as well. But I think if there's too much...
I should have married Nick.
I guess they can't turn him into too much of a caricature, and it also would be almost like making fun of...
I think it's one of those things where people understand that it's not supposed to be a commentary on real life situations. There's such a small number of people who are affected by this. I just can't imagine that it would stigmatise anybody. Like, if I met someone who'd been in an accident, I wouldn't immediately go, oh, are you mental like that Nick off Coronation Street? Do you know what I mean? It's not one of those things that it's easy to transfer your beliefs about a character onto a real person.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm totally fine with them.
Totally fine and crazy.
With them taking advantage of his medical condition for a few laughs.
So Michael doesn't turn up for his job later because he's obviously too intimidated by David and Nick.
By the Chuckle Brothers.
And Gail's perplexed and disappointed by him because she goes around to check. He says she goes back round to his house and he's like, oh, I wanted more than just friendship, but I couldn't cope with working so close to her. So he's obviously kind of half-truth there, but he's just actually kind of trying to cover up the fact that Nick and David came round because he doesn't want to cause any more trouble.
He doesn't, yeah. He doesn't want Gail to find out and her to be upset. Yeah,
but he is devastated himself as he leaves because he thinks it's over now between him and Gail.
You've got such a lovely haircut.
Yeah. And she's all loved up on the beginning of Friday's episode.
Oh, she's sitting there as Max is running amok.
On planet Rodwell.
Just thinking about how lovely he is.
Yeah.
And David says, don't go out with him, he's a crim.
Yeah. Nick lets it slip later on that he knows where Michael lives, and Gail's starting to get a bit suspicious of him.
Gail's like, how do you know? And he says, well, that's where all the criminals go, isn't it, Mother?
Mm-hmm. So she goes around there to see Michael, and then he eventually confesses that the boys went around there, or the men. and she's like, go and get your job at Streetcars. I'll sort out Nick and David. So
What's she actually going to do? So full of it.
Not cook him tea one day or something.
I'm very disappointed in you. I thought I raised you to be better men than this.
They should stay away, really. Sitting them down and having a conversation with them and saying, look, I'm a grown woman, I can look after myself. I don't know what she can... What do you think?
Well, I think that they're only going at Michael because they don't want Gail to be happy, genuinely. Nick just is in a mood about everything.
Yeah,
nothing
Nick's
he
just,
does
yeah.
is rational. David just doesn't like seeing Gail happy. And he's got his back up because he doesn't want this guy in his house who's burgled him.
It is still the shadow of Richard Hillman, isn't it?
Neither of them are protecting Gail. Make no mistake about that. They're not protecting their mum. They're just like, she's an idiot. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's bringing a criminal into the family. I think that's what they're thinking. I don't think they're thinking, oh, poor mum will be taken advantage of. And you know that if he does, if in the completely unlikely event that it turns out he is a fraudster, like old silver tongue, what's his face?
Yeah, Lewis.
They will have no sympathy for her whatsoever, and they'll say that she deserved it.
Yeah.
So they're not trying to protect her. They don't care about her.
Well, I hope that they... Do you think there eventually will be one round? Because I think there is going to be a relationship that's struck up between them. I think they are going to become an item.
I think David will be easier to win over. Out of Nick, Kylie and David, David will be won over first.
Yeah, Kylie's not going to accept it at
Kylie
all,
Kylie will only come round if she gets something out of it.
Do you think maybe, like, he's going to rescue Max from some crazy situation that he's going to get himself into? And then she'll see that he's not so bad after all, or something.
Although he did help them find Max at the garden centre, and she didn't.
Oh yeah, that's true. So I don't know. It's going to be a bit of an uphill struggle for him, but I'm looking forward to watching it. That is my definite storyline of the week. But
how can you criticise Crazy Nick? Because he made it. Good story.
He helped. I think Les Dennis was the best though.
Les Dennis was barely involved.
He was really good. But Nick's other storyline was this thing between him and Leanne and Cal, and which is usually very boring, but
what's
Crazy
Nick. What's
going
on between him and Leanne? I don't remember there being anything.
Who? Nick and Leanne and Cal. Oh, love triangle. So, Monday, we had Eva counselling Leanne to just allow Nick to say what he wants in the divorce because she can't afford a solicitor.
Well, she's just like, whatever he wants, because he tried to say, I want a divorce because Leanne is having an affair with Cal.
Yeah.
And Eva's like, just let him say it. If it means you can get rid of him, just go along with it.
Yeah. But she just wants to like act like nothing's happening because she goes into work, and because she's entitled to be there. But he just spends the whole of the week making life miserable for her.
Well,
isn't it?
Look, you can't sack me because you keep trying to sack her. And it's like, the business is half mine. And if you try to sack me, I will sue you.
Yeah.
She also goes to tell Simon about him and her and Nick having a divorce, and he's like, oh, do I get to see him still?
Yeah, yeah,
and then she also tells that she's seeing Cal, and he's like not bothered about it. But the other child that needs to find out about this relationship is, of course, Alia, who doesn't know that Leanne and Cal are together, because whenever she comes around, they have to jump apart.
Yeah, but she puts two and two together pretty quickly.
She's not stupid. She's got a degree.
Yeah, she realises that Leanne's making Cal happy anyway. So, yeah, she's good, but she's like, I wonder how Granny will react, because they're introducing this Granny Nazir. What did we get a name for her? Did you write it down?
No,
later?
I didn't find out. What
I can't
her name
remember.
Was.
Yeah. Also, in that episode, we had Nick making Steph the new supervisor at the bistro, which is quite funny.
Yeah, and because he's trying to annoy Leanne, and he also tells Leanne not to try to use Simon as emotional blackmail.
Yeah. To be fair, Leanne didn't rise to it, did she? She's like,
No worries. I don't care.
Yeah, and she apologises for Steph being dragged into it and all.
Yeah, and she says, make sure you get a good pay rise, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
On Wednesday...
It was Leanne's birthday.
Yes. Leanne and Eva are in the cafe talking about how it's her birthday. Nick's in there ordering himself a bacon sandwich. And he obviously knows that he's realised that it's her birthday. And he sets out to ruin it in any way he can. In the bistro, he tells Steph that she has to deal with a party coming in by herself. He goes, swans off. And she's freaking out, saying she can't cope. So he says, well, just call Leanne in. So Steph realises that she's being used to try to get at Leanne, but she doesn't have any choice. She has to tell Leanne to come in. So Leanne does.
Yeah, they were going to go out for a meal somewhere.
Her and
somewhere
Cal
that wasn't
go out.
The bistro, but she ends up in the bistro anyway, of
Cal
course.
Has to go in there to spend her birthday with her. Nick turns up and thinks it's hilarious that she's had to have her birthday date ruined. Cal calls him pathetic and says he should move on. And he also says that this thing about your mum not having a job, not having a receptionist job, has nothing to do with me. Don't drag me into your weird problems.
Oh, yeah, because Nick was kind of half... was blaming him for it, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was saying it's that he was the reason that Gail got bumped down to being a cleaner instead of a receptionist.
Yeah, yeah. Then we had Thursday's episode. Leanne's still saying that she can deal with Nick. And Cal shouldn't get involved with it. But yeah, we just have more arguments between her and Nick in front of Audrey on Thursday, and she's a bit embarrassed by it all, really, because she's caught up in the middle of it. And she even says that he was a bit harsh in front with Leanne. I think everyone seems to be on Leanne's side, really, but Nick's still keeping on going.
Nick doesn't care, though, does he? He just lives in his own little head.
Yeah, he's getting too much pleasure from winding her up and making things difficult for her.
Yeah. He's like the Terminator.
Yeah, because we had that scene later on in the episode where Nick brilliantly accidentally pushes into Leanne and then she spills her drinks all over.
Yeah, she's trying to serve Sally and Tim drinks, and he just goes, whoops!
Yeah, everybody knows that he did it.
Yeah.
Sally did, because he's then like, oh, well, Leanne, they can have whatever they want for free, and it's coming out of your wages.
And Leanne's like, you can't do that. And he's like, watch me.
But Sally is like, she knows what's going on. She refuses to order. But Tim's like, oh, I can have whatever I want, eh? And he orders this posh lobster and steak, doesn't he? But
yeah.
Sally ends up dragging him
Sally
out.
Sally says, you were just about to apologise to Leanne. And he says, sorry, Sally, that's off the menu.
He has all these funny lines this week, doesn't he? That aren't actually that funny, but it's just the way
he
says them.
He
delivers them in that way. And he thinks that he's being absolutely hilarious.
He is. So Leanne quits. She says, look, I haven't even started on you yet, but I'm not playing this stupid game. On Friday, we get the meet the parents, because Granny Nazir arrives.
She does seem to be very stereotypical grandma Asian lady, doesn't she?
I didn't think she was stereotypically Asian at all.
Didn't you?
No.
Why?
I don't think she was. She was just an inquisitive mum, I think. She was asking loads of questions like, is she a real blonde? Blah, blah, blah.
She obviously wants to know whether she is good enough for Cal.
She wants to get the measure of
for
her.
Cal.
Yeah.
Didn't ask whether she had been a prostitute, though. That was
no,
the question.
No, that was one of the main things that I
will ask.
Could have
cleared up lots of later difficulties
exactly.
And misunderstandings.
So, basically, Cal arranges for his family to meet Leanne that evening. So Leanne is talking to Eva and Steph about it and says, oh, I've got to meet everybody tonight.
But not for dinner because it's Ramadan.
And Steph says, oh, Ramadan is nailed by mouth. You can't even have water. And Leanne's like, oh, I don't understand. Leanne's in panicking at lighting candles in the flat. And around comes the family without Zidane.
Yeah.
He's not there because, well, first of all, the mum's asking loads of questions, and then she says Zidane's not coming because he has trouble with the idea of his dad moving on. And then she sees a picture of Eva, and Leanne says, oh, that's my half-sister, but I've also got a stepsister. And she goes, oh, you have a quite a fractured background.
Yeah, so she's very direct, isn't she?
Yeah,
that's
she
why
is.
I think she's a bit stereotypical. She's like, she's like looking down her nose and it's like, yeah.
Very direct. Well, she says, look, do you read a lot? I'm a librarian.
Oh, my mum's a librarian.
Yeah, very nosy, aren't they?
They need to have that as a little character trait for this woman, because my mum used to be able to say the Dewey Decimal Number of anything, and I think that should be her quirk. Yeah, So they're talking and chatting away.
And then the subject of Nick comes up, and Leanne says, "Well, no, he's never been the same. He's not right. But he's there to stay. He's the replacement Nick."
She's very honest about everything, isn't she?
Well, she has to be. It's like, I wouldn't trust my ability to lie to that woman. She's like the Spanish Inquisition. So they leave. They seem quite happy about it. Everyone's smiling. Kiss goodbye. Bye-bye. And then up comes Nick.
Yeah, because they're just coming down from the flat.
Nick decides to ruin the evening. He says, oh, Leanne, I'm closing the bistro, by the way. And Leanne says, look, no, can you talk about this later? This is not the right time. Oh, has Leanne told you that she was a lap dancer? Oh, has she told you that she used to walk at night? That she used to walk the streets? She used to work her deltoids with a mattress on her back.
Yeah, straps of her back. It's funny.
And they realise that he's inferring that she is a prostitute. And then he says, whoops, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. And then walks off. Leanne runs upstairs, crying, alone. She's ruined her big debut.
Yeah. Well,
by being a prosy.
Obviously, Sharif's wife isn't going to be
the highlight.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Coronation Street, they can finish the show. That's me done.
Obviously, she's not going to. She's now going to have this very negative opinion of Leanne. I'm interested to see how she takes it up with Sharif as well, because she's going to say to him, "Oh, did you know about this?" And he's obviously going to say, "Oh, yeah, I did."
There's an insinuation that the older generation of this family are more religious.
Oh, yeah, it seems
so.
That way.
They're going to have a problem with her being a prostitute, I would have thought.
Hmm.
Or are they going to surprise us all? Because really, they are the Muslims of the show. So they have to represent the religion as a whole.
Yeah.
Just those four characters. But we know that Ali is not really a strict Muslim and Carl hasn't really spoken about it very much. So
it seems like Ali is more strict than Carl is.
Are they going to sort of try to have them be sympathetic and not to sort of tar them with a brush of being intolerant?
I don't know.
Do you not think they're treading a difficult line? Like I've said before on many occasions, where they've got a character who represents an entire section of the society, like with Izzy being a disabled character, then therefore she represents disabled people on the show.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful about how you represent them, because everything they do and say has a lot more weight to it than a normal character.
I think
they're
going to use it to show kind of the different moral dilemmas that their faith will bring about. But and Mrs. Nazir or whatever is going to be definitely dead against it from the start. I think she may well turn against Leanne. It's going to cause ructions between her and Sharif. I think she's too traditional, but I think Sharif will win her round in the end. She'll probably like see how good a mum Leanne is to Simon or something like that, and then say, well, the past is in the past. She seems like she's going to be quite a good character, but I think this is going to cause tension between them all.
Yeah.
And I guess I wonder what Zidane's going to think about it, because he's obviously going to find out. And if he's already got a problem with his dad seeing somebody new, he's not going to like the idea.
Yeah, he won't like that at all.
No. So it could be Mrs. and him versus Sharif and Alia, maybe.
I don't know. I don't really know very much about what's the traditional Muslim, view of prostitutes. Because if you're talking about Christianity, because obviously they also follow the teachings of Jesus, because he was one of the prophets.
I think, yeah.
Yes, surely. He was like busy mates with prostitutes and said, turn the other cheek.
Well, I don't know.
Not that you get many, a few, should we say, fundamentalist Christians who have missed that memo, I think.
I don't think she's going to be happy with it, but I don't know. It's nice.
It's difficult to know how you could be happy with anyone if your son, your only, well, your grandson, no, son.
Son.
Your only son started dating a prostitute.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be happy now.
So which is why I think they are going to be won round eventually, just like Sharif was, because he was dead against it.
But
at the start.
See, she's so widely read. She's probably read quite a few books about prostitutes.
I think that, I told you this earlier, she should have an affair with Ken. That's my prediction for future storyline. She's going to work at Weatherfield Library, and Ken's going to go there.
She'd be like, oh, you've checked this book out before. He said, I've read it twice, but I wanted to see you again.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
I've had a flirt with you in the library.
Do you think the Nazirs are going to compare with the last big family that was like the Windasses? Because they were all introduced gradually, weren't they? We had like Owen and then we had Izzy coming in and Katie coming in, like drip feeding this family in. I think already they could stand to be a bit more interesting than them. They're certainly more tolerable than Katie and Izzy are.
I really don't like
Alia. Don't you?
I don't like her. She smiles and you can see all of her teeth.
So?
She goes like this.
So you can't say that on the phone. Listeners
like
can't see that she's
Gromit.
Doing the Wallace and Gromit impression. I don't have a problem with Alia. But it's early days.
I think she looks smarmy.
It's early days.
It's early days. You could have a problem with her.
I could have a problem with her later. But the Nazirs are more interesting than the Armstrongs.
She's got dead eyes. Her smile never reaches her eyes.
Alia's going to be all caught up with...
I think she's a serial killer.
She's going to be caught up with the Gary and Izzy storyline, which we luckily didn't have much of this week.
She killed Tina.
No, she didn't.
She's going to be suspected.
Right, let's move on to talk about Todd and Marcus, which didn't have a storyline title for particularly. But Todd gets sacked this week is basically the thrust of that, isn't it? Because he's decided to skip work to go out with
Marcus. He's doing his dandest to get Marcus sacked as well.
Yeah.
Kirk tells Todd and Marcus off, and he says to Marcus, why are you even with him? I don't understand. And everyone at home goes, yes, why are you together? For God's sake. Maria comes back, and Kirk tells Marcus to leave Maria alone.
Oh, yeah, Maria's back this week, wasn't she?
Yeah. So Todd says, oh, let's skip work. Let's go out together. And then he ends up having to hide at the bus stop from Lloyd because he lied and said that he was ill. So Lloyd's dropping off Maria. Liam, as soon as he sees Marcus, runs over and says hello. And Maria, instead of being a cow, says, oh, maybe we can talk later about it. And Marcus is really excited because he misses Liam and he wants to see him again. And Todd doesn't like this new development. He wants Marcus to stay away as much as possible. He wants him all to himself. Maria comes into the salon and to see Audrey. And she's all happy. And then Audrey craps all over it and says... You know, you've got to mend fences with people.
Fizz particularly.
Yeah, exactly. And Maria says to Audrey that she's going to let Marcus see Liam again. They're going to go to the pub later.
And when they go to the pub, Fizz is there. She's not happy to see Maria back. I was wondering whether they would make up after all, but Fizz is being very, very hard-faced this week. And it's not particularly looking very good for her. It's not... She's not coming
she's
across
not
as...
just She's not just melting immediately, is she? She's going to give her a hard time.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, what Maria did was pretty terrible.
I'd say it's not unforgivable.
I think after... Well, I don't know. I think after this, how long has it been? 3 weeks, 4 weeks that she's been away?
Oh, forgive her for trying to split up your marriage.
I think I'd rather that she hadn't. I don't like having Fizz and Maria up against each other.
I don't care.
We didn't have any... Tyrone wasn't in it this week, was he?
No.
But do you think that he would be more willing to forgive
Oh,
Maria?
You know what men are like. Short memories.
Yeah. And so that's going to be more eruptions between Tyrone and Fizz then if he wants to forgive her. But
Well,
that's for another week.
Meanwhile, Todd is being caught out because Steve sees him in the street with Marcus, and Todd makes up a ridiculous excuse and says, oh, he's comforting Marcus because his dog, Barbara died. Barbara Streisand, the dog. And Steve says, you're sacked.
Yeah, because he'd said he was ill, hadn't he?
He's an idiot. Todd doesn't care. He's all like, oh, I don't even, my boyfriend's rich. I don't care.
Yeah.
So Maria and Kirk go to the pub later. Kirk thinks that people are going to forgive her, but Viz, like you say, isn't really that interested. Marcus then has to come in and rescue her. And then it brings up again that he's going to see Liam. Todd comes and drags him away.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, this is when Marcus was supposed to pick Liam up from school.
No, he was supposed to take him to school. But Todd has forgotten to set the alarm clock.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Why can't Marcus see through? Well, he kind of can, doesn't he? He's like, oh, are you sure you really set the alarm clock? But he's just like, oh, all right.
Oh,
then.
You scamp.
Exactly. What?
Oh, you scallywag.
It's just completely incomprehensible.
Do you think whenever he gets his lines, he looks at them and goes, really? Are you serious?
I would be interested to know what Charlie is going to be thinking.
He must be thinking, I hate my job.
It depends it depends how invested he is in his own character, I guess. But it's like when Michelle Keegan had said that she didn't like what Tina became before
she left. It must be so frustrating if to sort of like be written out with a ridiculous storyline that doesn't even make any sense.
But anyway, Todd then, doesn't he go over to Streetcars like to as if nothing had happened? Because
oh yeah, he comes to join it, go to work, and Steve's like, no, you're an idiot. Eileen shouts at him, and then Todd goes, oh, stick your job, I don't want you to work here anyway.
Yeah, and then he manages to get to spend the night with Marcus because
well, he says, don't go to work because I'm really sad about being sacked. I lost my job.
So Marcus just rolls over.
He's such a big baby.
Yeah. So I'm quite enjoying watching this storyline, but every time that Marcus gives in to Todd, I'm going to shout at the TV. And then we had...
Well, this is a mixture of Andrea, Lloyd and Steve's
story. Oh, yeah, let's move on to that now.
We had Steve... His great plans to become a better man after his birthday, and he sort of had a bit midlife crisis. But all of his plans that he had to become amazing have fallen through because he's got to worry about his exams.
Got his history exam this week. So this storyline is coming to a conclusion, and it's like... the storyline also gets mixed up with... yeah, like you said, he's wanting to do better. He wants to expand the business. And
he wants to retire at 50.
Eva suggests selling kidneys or a liver. But Steve would rather go off to do an airport job because he wants to get more airport jobs, basically.
He's kind of got this idea that he wants to try to do the airport run in like the quickest time.
Yeah.
Like challenging himself.
But Michelle and Lloyd have got a better idea of possibly getting into the limo business again. And I don't even remember them doing that before, but I'll trust them that they had.
They were talking about it on Tuesdays and Thursdays all the weekend.
Andrea on Wednesday got a text from Neil wondering where she was. Meanwhile, Lloyd and Jenna are organising this holiday that they're going to go on. I thought that they'd been on that ages ago and it had just been a weekend, but that obviously has still not happened.
Well, it happens on they go off on Friday.
Yeah, it happens in the end, didn't it? So Steve is revising with Andrea, even though Lloyd wanted a romantic night in, and he's starting to get worried that Andrea is not interested in him because she's showing no... she's being actually quite happy that he's going off with Jenna because it means that she's going to be able to spend this time with Neil, and Lloyd's taking that to mean, oh, you're not going to be sad to see me go.
Yeah.
Poor old Lloyd.
Andrea then on Thursday. They're cramming her and Steve, and they get the exam over and done with. Steve then tells everybody that he thinks he's flunked the exam, and Lloyd says, "Well, I think that
I've got bigger
Andrea
problems. I'm about to get
me.
Dumped." Yeah. Do you think that Steve is going to fail this exam?
No.
It could well be that Steve passes it and Andrea doesn't, which would be a bit of a
That would
Twist.
Be quite good because it looks like she's more preoccupied with having an affair. than actually revising.
Yeah. I don't know what Steve would do with this qualification when he gets it. But
well, that might be the start of a new angle for
it
him.
It could be something big for him, I guess.
But on Friday, Lloyd still can't get hold of Andrea, and he thinks that that he's blown it. And Jenna's like, I don't care. I would be happy if you...
Yeah, she just wants to get away and go on this holiday.
Don't worry about it. Then we get a scene with Neil and Andrea, and poor Neil is saying, oh, I'm not going to... he's supposed to go off to work somewhere. And he says, I'm not going. We're drifting apart. I want to spend more time with you. And she says, oh, don't worry. We'll just Skype more often. And he says, oh, let's go to Liverpool and see Jess.
This hadn't been mentioned. I mean, no. They didn't say it was their daughter, but
maybe it's his daughter strongly from another implied marriage.
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether it's his daughter or hers or what, but I'm sure they hadn't been mentioned before. But so
I think she would have mentioned if she had. I would be really shocked if that was her kid.
Why?
Because it seems to me...
Do you think she would have mentioned that to Lloyd?
You'd think so. It's not like you can divorce your husband, but you can't divorce your children. You'll always have children.
Mm.
Even if she intended to get rid of Neil at some point.
Yeah, she wouldn't be able to get rid of this Jess if she was their daughter. Yeah, so
he's trying to make up with her and kiss her, and she's like, oh, I've got to leave. I've got to go and babysit. She runs off and leaves him sort of sitting dejected on the floor.
It's so sad because I think we said it before. If Neil had been written as being like an evil character or a bad husband or anything, then we might be a bit more on Andrea's side at the moment. But it's just making her look worse at the moment.
No, I don't. I can see where she's like, I can imagine rushing into getting married and then you're stuck with somebody. You don't hate them. There's no passionate feelings. It's just...
It's really sad.
It is sad, and it should be the sort of thing that they talk about on Coronation Street. Not everybody gets divorced because so-and-so had an affair and thingy my Bob tried to kill my mum or whatever.
They've just fallen out of love with each other.
Yeah, there should be storylines where that happens.
There's a little bit of a happy ending, I guess, for this storyline this week, because she does go and say goodbye to Lloyd.
Well, she manages to get there just in time to wave him off.
It's obvious. It seems to be pretty obvious where her loyalties lie at the moment.
She really wants to be with Lloyd.
Yeah, we've seen her together with Neil, completely natural, and it's not looking good. But with him and
Neil, man, you've got to get yourself
with Lloyd and Andrew, it's good.
Get some flowers or something.
I was almost thinking that she might just say, "Oh, let me come with you" or something, and forget about Neil. But that's gonna be.
She needs to decide what she wants to do.
Yeah, and
it seems to me at the moment that she's trying to kid herself that she can just juggle the two or not decide.
Well, it's going to be. She doesn't want to hurt. I think she's going to make it worse for herself next week because she's going to be more attentive to Neil because she knows that Lloyd's not going to walk in on them or text them.
She probably feels guilty.
Yeah, but maybe that Neil will then start to think, oh, things are getting better for us, and then Lloyd's going to come back in. Yeah. The only other thing that happened there was that Steve's bought a VW camper van.
Yes, for the wedding business.
Yeah, which who was it? Michelle saying who would want one of them?
I don't remember.
Or Lloyd, I can't remember. We nearly had one of those for our wedding.
Oh, it was big.
Nice red one.
It broke down.
Yeah,
it
broke down the week before the wedding, so we couldn't have it in the end. So Gemma's dad had to take us to the church.
That was fine.
We got
our money back.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for the guy who had to phone me up. I think I was at the end of a long list of hysterical brides. He said, oh, I'm really sorry, but unfortunately, I don't think that we'll be able to take you to the church. I was like, okay, can we get our money back? And he's like, oh yeah? I was like, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, so that could be quite comedy.
I'm sure it'll break down because they are unreliable.
I'm sure that the next couple to get married in the street will use this thing.
Well, I can't remember what day, but on one of the days it's brought up that perhaps Rob and Tracy, on Wednesday, Rob and Tracy are asking about this limo.
Oh, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah.
That Michelle and Steve are getting.
When it was a limo.
Yeah, so
I can't see Tracy wanting to go to.
And her face is going to fall. I can just see her face.
Yeah, she's not going to want to go to the wedding in that.
No. I can imagine Sinead and Chesney.
Yeah, or Kirk and Beth.
Yeah.
There's a couple of good couples that would go in that, but.
Well, it will become passé after the second one, won't it?
Mm. Yeah, so there we go. That's the end of that storyline.
You can have for that.
And then all we had then for Carla was she's Sure, she's managed to get the orders sorted. We got a couple of funny Sally scenes, didn't we, on Thursday's episode?
I don't understand this reference.
What? Ham and tomato sandwiches?
Yeah.
Oh, that was that thing between Julie and Izzy when they're fed up of their own, the Saz having the same sandwiches every day, so they decided to make...
to swap, and then Julie starts saying to Izzy, oh, but what sandwiches shall I make?
Yeah, I'll they just said make that you she says that she tomato. Would make she no ham and tomato. Yeah, they decide to make each other sandwiches, but they're just going to make the same thing anyway. It was a little funny scene at the time. It was a little funny scene that the Coronation Street is missing. I think just
they're not missing it. They
do them. I don't think they do enough little ones like that. But anyway, yeah,
you
Sally
just don't write them down because they don't contribute to the plot. That's why you like them, because you'd have to write it down.
Yeah, I just enjoyed it for what it was. But yeah. Carla goes off to a meeting, she gets the McNeese order renewed, but it was Hamlin's that was the big one that was keeping them afloat, so factory God, on the it. Brink again.
Oh.
Working and then Friday, she...
You're supposed to carry on talking and not put your attention
Friday,
to
she's starting to get involved with Luke.
Oh,
it looks like
dear.
It's going to be a cougar. Because he's fixing her car, and then
Peter staggers over. And sees Luke flirting and tries to get back with Carla, and Luke protects her, and it's all very boring.
Yeah, it has it. They need to. There wasn't a sniff of like policemen or anything this week, were there?
I would not be interested.
The investigation seems to be stalled.
You know, I love Carla, but I'm not interested in a storyline with her and Luke.
No. Hopefully it's just going to be a couple of days thing.
Mm.
If she does end up in a relationship with Luke, it's going to be a very fleeting one, and it's going to be used to make Peter more jealous, and then that'll be the end of that, I think.
Boring.
Yeah, maybe he'll get wound up by it, and then that'll end up with him being arrested or something, because he'll do something stupid or say something stupid, I don't know.
Maybe.
But there we go. I thought that was quite a good week this week. I like that Rodwell was the big storyline. Nick was obviously great for most of the week, and he went through the Rodwell storyline and the Leanne and Cal storyline.
Nick should be in every storyline.
How could he be in every storyline?
How couldn't he be? He's a breath of fresh air, that man.
Yeah, so good week this week. Mostly thanks to Nick and Michael. They're my two characters of the week, I think. And good old Gail as well.
Aww.
So there we go. Let's move on now to a classic character profile. It's classic character profile time, and this week's a good one. It's not linked to anything that's happened in the episodes this week. It is linked to the current world event of the World Cup. Apparently there is football going on at the moment. I think that the general English attitude is now that we've
out of the World Cup. Anything about the English people's attitude to football.
I've never
Do not pretend you know anything about football.
I don't know anything about the football.
Well, don't just because no one's talking about it to you.
Doesn't mean that
people aren't interested in football.
Well, this week's character is a footballer. It was David Barlow, which is Ken Barlow's brother.
Ken Barlow's brother?
Never talks about him, of course. A forgotten character. And it's his birthday today. It would have been his birthday today anyway. He was killed in a car crash in the end.
Oh,
but he would have been 72 today because he was born on the 4th of July, 1942.
Before America was invented.
Yeah, and he died on the 8th of April, 1970. Like Ken, his parents are Frank and Ida Barlow. And he married Irma Ogden in 1965.
Oh my goodness.
I always think it's funny to imagine the Barlows and the Ogdens like joining together by marriage, because they seem to be at complete odds with each other. So it's completely opposite types of families. They had a son, Darren, in 1968. That was an off-screen son. And David first appeared in the first episode of Coronation Street on the 9th of December 1960. His final episode was the 10th of April 1968, and all in all, he was in 252 episodes. He was played by Alan Rodwell.
Wow.
Not Michael Rodwell.
No, that's a completely different person. Ken was supposed to have a sister originally, but they decided not to because they already had a brother and sister relationship with Dennis Tanner and Linda Chavisky or something.
I thought that was quite interesting.
What a weird idea. Like, oh no, we can't have two siblings.
Well, because the cast was so small back then, I guess they didn't want to have any chance of like overlapping ideas, and they just wanted to get in as much as possible. So I thought that was quite interesting that they originally going to have Ken with a sister.
Trivia.
Yeah. So let's have
Who
a look
knows,
at...
she might still be alive.
Who?
if he had a sister.
Oh, yeah, maybe. He wouldn't have married Irma Ogden anyway, no, I'll tell you that.
Not in those days.
So he grew up during the war, so he was obviously born... when did you say he was born? 1942, yeah. So he was born in the war, and then grew up with his brother Ken and...
Is he older or younger?
David is... I think he's the younger brother. He lived with Ida and number three whilst their dad was fighting in the war. By 1961, when Corrie started, he was an apprentice engineer, but he was much more interested in football, so he signed up to Weatherfield County FC. He became one of their best players and then was signed to a London club.
A London club?
Yeah.
What, in that fancy London? In the world.
Yeah. Whoa. I wonder whether they had anything with David reacting when... in 1966 when England won the World Cup. See that I know current events.
Yeah, current events. In 1963, he returned to Weatherfield for a week, but all the locals were jealous about how well off he was, so he went back home to London.
Yeah, I think he was like on again, off again.
Don't
quite
bother
a bit in those early
coming
days.
From London to Coronation Street because they just hate you.
he went back again at Christmas 1964, but that was because he'd been suspended from his club for accepting a bribe, and he didn't tell Ken and Val that. 1965 was a much bigger year for David, so he was back on the pitch by February, but he had an accident and tore a ligament in April and then had to stay with the Barlows to recover.
Aww.
Yeah, he started seeing Irma Ogden that year, who he proposed to during a trip to the Blue John Mines. And
where's that?
That is in Derbyshire.
Really?
Yeah, and it is where...
What do they mine in the Blue John Mines?
You ask. Don't pretend you're not reading my notes. They mine fluorite there.
What is that?
Well, fluorite is... I don't know. Yeah. I haven't written the notes of that. But that's what they do at the Blue John Mines. They're having a little cut...
All day long.
Little episode filmed over there. But... interesting trivia about that.
What?
Roy Barraclough was one of the tour guides during that mine episode.
Was it the actual character?
It wasn't Alec Gilroy, no. He was like three or four characters before he was Alec Gilroy.
Okay.
So anyway, later that year, he retired from football and he became a coach for Weatherfield Athletics and wrote a football column for the Weatherfield Advisor.
Oh, see, literacy is in the blood.
Yeah.
Irma's father, Stan, hit her when he found out that David was in her bedroom.
I think this is a forgotten part of Stan Ogden's history, that he hit his daughter.
It's okay.
He kind of grew up to be like lovable, oafish husband, didn't he? Not a child beater.
It's okay to beat your daughter if she's having it off with an ex-footballer in your house. They tried to get married quietly without their families knowing, but they found out about it anyway and they turned up to the reception.
Later on in the year, David was injured during a charity football match and he was told that he will never play football again. And that's temporarily led to a split between David and Irma
happened to Gordon Ramsay.
What?
He used to be a professional football player.
Did he?
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, and David was too proud to live on Coronation Street after that. Because
no.
She said that she wanted... okay, so he's not got football anymore, but they should buy the corner shop together. And he was like, no, I'm not
a
shopkeeper.
I'm too good to live on Coronation Street and work at the corner shop.
Yeah.
But, I'm a Barlow.
He was taught round in the end by Ken's wife, Val.
Oh.
But actually, Irma didn't stay at the shop long. In 1966, she left there to work in the PVC factory across the road. And David had to put up with Hilda working in the shop with him. And that must have been a bit awkward, having the mother-in-law working with you at your shop, a job that you didn't even want to
delightful.
Do. Especially if your mother-in-law's Hilda.
Sounds excellent. Irma came back, though. That was okay.
Yeah.
In 1967, he briefly considered standing for council elections, but then he decided against the idea because Irma didn't want him to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way for marital bliss.
David turned hero later in the year when he rescued Ina Sharpold when the train crashed through the viaduct. And then even later than that, Irma got pregnant, but she had a miscarriage.
Oh, no. But David looked into adoption. Hooray. And they fostered a child at Christmas for a few days.
Oh,
so sweet.
Yeah, she's like the early Rita and Len.
In 1968, David tired of shop work and he tried to return to football, and he got offered a position on a team in Australia, and even though Emma didn't want to, they obviously have really rubbish footballers in Australia that just a random injured player.
Right across the world to try and find anyone.
Emma didn't want to go, but they emigrated anyway, and while they were there, Emma gave birth to a son called Darren.
Yeah, but sadly in 1970 we find that David and Darren had been killed in a car crash there. Tragic. Sad. Irma was also involved in the crash, but she survived and returned to Weatherfield. Now, Irma was the character, I think, that... do you remember when we watched the programme and they had the actress there saying that she just left, she upped and left and didn't turn up to work one day? That was Irma Ogden, I think. So she was back in it for a little bit after 1970, but not for long. Producers had wanted to bring David back after he'd left, but Alan had already found other work, so he's like, no, don't need you, Coronation Street anymore, so he was killed off screen.
I think that's sad, because I would really like to have Ken have a brother now.
Yeah, I can only imagine how different Ken's life would be if he'd had a brother, like somebody to confide in all these years, with all the problems that he'd been through.
Because Ken's really the rock, isn't he, of the show?
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes he needs somebody to...
Can't imagine him having anyone to lean on. No. Maybe he wouldn't have had an affair.
Yeah, I don't know how close Ken and David were, not knowing anything more about the character of David than what we've just said. But yeah, like during the Ken and Deirdre, the Ken and Mike affair. I mean, not Ken and Mike affair, the Deirdre and Mike affair, and Ken's suicide bid.
I can't imagine not knowing anything about their interactions. I cannot imagine them being close at all, considering how sporty David obviously was and how studious Ken.
Yeah, that's true. It seems like it was a bit like Steve up. And Andy, like the cool one and the bookish one.
I can imagine they were set up deliberately to be complete polar opposites from each other.
Possibly. But I think both of them ended up marrying someone that wasn't necessarily suited to them. I think Irma was a bit too outrageous for David, and Val wasn't particularly suited to Ken, I think, because he was a bit too boring for her as well. But anyway, Alan went on to appear in Brookside, Emmerdale and Doctors, so he's still got his still trying to get those soap awards. He was also in Casualty and Heartbeat and a few other things.
Not in The Bill?
He was probably in The Bill as well.
I hope so.
I don't know the actor particularly, but good to see that there is life after Coronation Street for these people.
Not really.
Well, it's not good to see there's life. Are you saying there isn't
life? No, there isn't life after Corrie.
Well, I don't think you'd ever... I don't think it's easy to reach the same heights, is it, once you leave?
No.
But yeah, there we go. There's David. That was our footballing spot in tribute to the World Cup.
Your tribute to the World Cup.
Yeah, we could have also have done Warren Baldwin, who played for Weatherfield FC, but there's nothing about him on Corriepedia.
Well done. You tried your best.
I tried. I did have a look, but no. David Butler, I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Lots of characters that people don't really know about, because I bet there's a lot of our listeners that probably didn't even know that Ken had a brother.
I didn't know.
So let's move on to the cabin now.
It's the cabin. It's the news time. We've got some great news for anyone who's fans of Kevin Kennedy.
Yeah, Curly Watts.
He is doing photos.
Do you think he's doing the best he can to try and worm his way back into the programme?
Please, love me! He's doing photos and signings on the set tour from the 4th to the 6th. From 4 to 6 on the 3rd, 10th and 17th of July, and between 7 and 9 on the 24th.
Yeah, so he's already done one of these. It's the 4th of July
true.
Today. He was there yesterday doing some signings.
To see him, 10th and the 17th of July between 4 and 6. And between 7 and 9 on the 24th of July.
It's a very tight window. It's short notice as well. This was only announced like at the beginning of this week. And I saw some people on the internet saying, oh, I'm going on the 3rd, but it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something, so I won't get to see him. It's a bit sad, really.
I think they don't really think anyone's going to be that bothered.
I wonder if like they're going to do like a few other things over the summer, because there's obviously going to be lots of people that will be heading up north to see the Coronation Street tour. So it's...
Really, it makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes sense to have some events like this going on. And why not Kevin Kennedy? Because Curly was popular, even though people have kind of forgotten about him now, I think.
And he said, Coronation Street was and still is a huge part of my life, and I have so many fond memories of my time on the old Granada set. It's great that the site is now open for visitors to see behind the scenes of where I spent so many happy years. Please hire me again. And I can't wait to see their reactions when they step onto the cobbles for the very first time.
Yeah, and I think yesterday he said like in interviews in the Manchester Evening News, oh, I wouldn't say no, I would like to go back to Coronation Street.
Give me a job.
No, I think we've talked. I think we've talked about him in the past, haven't we? And said there's not really any place for him. I mean, not even Kevin's there at
the
moment.
Literally, it would make more sense for them to bring him back as a completely new character and not say anything about the fact he used to be Curly. It would make more sense to do
there's
that.
There's nobody around
than
that's
it
his
would
friend.
Do for him to come back as Curly.
If they were going to bring back Curly and Terry as a double act, maybe. And
it's
then...
not the same show as it was when he was in it. It couldn't be in it.
Yeah, and Curly just got boring towards the end.
I'd never liked him.
No, and I did like him because the only time you saw him was when he'd had his makeover and
when
he got
was
boring, wasn't
married
it?
With to Emma.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember
he'd just
more about her than I remember about him.
Oh well, it's good. I would like to go. I mean, if I was able to go to the Coronation Street tour again this summer, I'd try and time it to go and see him just so
we
I could
can go record something for
record
our podcast.
For our podcast. We haven't said
really
anything
like,
bad about you,
we don't
really.
Like Curly, but hey, we'll take anyone. And
Curly
say,
used to be one of my
hey,
favorites.
Hey, it's a gig.
Yeah, he used to be one of my favorites just because I liked him and Raquel as a couple. But yeah, I'm not fussed whether he would come back. Stuart Blackburn does seem to be quite pro bringing back old characters, though, doesn't he? So he
You'd
might be in with
a
chance. Maybe that's
really
why he's saying
good
it.
Storyline.
Yeah.
And I cannot think
I can't
what
think
it would
what
be.
It could possibly be, no.
Well, that's not the only news, because we also have found out that Colson Smith, along with the cast and crew from Corrie and Emmerdale, including Gaynor Fay,
who played Judy Mellott in
yeah,
Coronation Street,
obviously.
But she's now defected to Emmerdale.
Traitor. They did the Tour de ITV this week. A cycle from the Rovers to the Woolpack in Leeds.
Yeah, the Woolpack is the pub in Emmerdale. Yeah, it was
yeah,
it was,
I know that.
I know, but not everyone listening does.
They raised money for the ITV Local Heroes campaign.
I think Colson Smith was the only Coronation Street actor that actually did it, so I don't know how much the other actors
they,
really cared
was it
about
like
it.
In a, was it a relay?
No, it was...
It's a bloody long way, isn't it?
It was a long way, yeah, and he was sending tweets throughout
isn't
it.
Isn't he? He's quite young to be doing that.
Well, he's just done his GCSEs. He's finished
oh,
his school now. He's got nothing
then.
Better to do. Mm. So, yeah, I think good on him for doing it.
To be fair,
else...
if you said to me at the time, Gemma, do you want to do GCSE exams or do you want to cycle from Manchester to Leeds and say, where's my bike?
No, he's finished now. So, yeah, good for him for doing that, I can say.
Yeah.
Good raise charity, and it was nice to see something on Twitter from Colson Smith that didn't revolve around the World Cup or just football in general for a change.
This football they speak of.
Yes. So yeah, I don't know, there's nothing particularly more to say about that, but
no.
Well done to him.
But anybody who sponsored them is probably kicking themselves right now for not saving their cash.
Right.
Because the online auction site.
Oh yeah, it's even better to
Edison,
send your money on.
Edisonauction.co.uk have got the most amazing auction that ends at 10 a.m. on Thursday the 10th of July for a set of non-operating okay. Rovers return doors.
Yeah.
They are described as Coronation Street set doors, double doors for the Rovers return in, matte paint, non-operating, 210 millimetres.
No, 2,100 millimetres.
Don't talk weird. 940
millimetres
wide with Veronica Duckworth licensee nameplate.
Yeah.
Now, if your name's not Veronica Duckworth, I do believe you can remove that plate.
But why would you
But
want
why
to?
Would you? Because the doors don't work.
Well, I saw on the Coronation Street blog reckon that it's not actually from the programme. They think it's from the old Blackpool Madame Tussauds set or something, which is why that they're not operational.
How can you have a door that's not operate? It's a door.
Well,
what
it's double doors that don't open, that don't separate, I think it's saying.
Just put them on a hinge.
Cut through them and put them on a hinge.
If you're a true Corrie fan, you can overcome this.
It's quite a good bit of memorability to have. But I think if I bought it and then found out that it wasn't actually used in the show, I'd be pretty annoyed.
I'd be very
by it.
Annoyed.
Want my money back? When I checked the other day, when I was making the notes for this, it had the current bid was £150 for this. I don't know whether it's gone up since.
It'll go up a bit.
It'll go up for a lot more. But
what do you reckon? Let's take bets.
Oh, okay. I think. £600.
I think £1,000.
You reckon £1,000? Okay,
yeah,
we'll come back next
there.
Week to find out how much the Rovers. What, you're going to win it by. You're going to buy it yourself, are you?
Yes.
Just to win a bet.
How
with
much
me.
Do you bet me? £1,000.
We don't need a set of Rovers doors.
Yeah, but they don't work, so you can use them for anything.
No.
We can make them into a shed.
If anyone else would like to go halves at this, though. Maybe we'll consider it.
We can cut it down the middle.
last bit of news is a bit of a talking point. Russell T. Davis, our favourite television producer. Well,
yours, maybe.
No, he was a Doctor Who guy, wasn't
he's
he?
He's notorious.
He's one of the most notorious British producers because he's very outspoken about gay rights issues.
Yes.
But he was interviewed about something or other this week, and he says that he thinks that soaps could be extinct in 10 years unless they do something to halt the sliding ratings. I think soaps are in trouble and they need to be careful. You can see a television landscape in 10 years' time where they won't exist or will be reduced. And without the soaps, gay visibility on TV will plummet. So what
do
we think?
That is ridiculous. First of all, you're not going to get rid of gay people just because there are no soaps. I'm sure gay people are in other programmes.
Well, his programmes are a start.
It's absolutely ridiculous to say that you need soaps to...
I know. I think reality TV has also been very good in
just
making...
Just across the board... There are far more gay people on television now than there ever have been, and there's not going to be less gay people on television in 10 years' time.
No. What about the idea of soaps needing to change? Because I don't think I agree with that at all.
I don't agree with that either.
Ratings have obviously gone down.
Are
but
they
the,
not
the audience
now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, 10 years ago, they were much higher. I mean, when they had the Richard Hillman thing, and that was getting, 16, 17, 18 million viewers, I think. I really don't think that could happen these days, but that was freakishly high. It's been below 10 million for quite a while now, and I don't think they are getting particularly lower. But in any case, they're still consistently in the top 10. Coronation Street is consistently... the most watched programme in the week, as far as I know, unless there's something big going on like the World Cup. People are watching different things these days because there's so much more choice available. And yeah, people say that soaps have gone down in quality and that they're not the TV event that they once were, because back in the days of two channels, it's what you had to watch. But there's still always going to be people that want to watch
them. There's always going to be soaps. And I also think he hasn't realised that, especially Coronation Street, is good. I think the audience... is like international, and I do think the way that especially in Canada, where they're catching up now, it's obviously important. It's obviously got high enough ratings for them to consider it's necessary to have it just with a 2-week delay. And I think that they are, Coronation Street obviously are grooming the audience there, which is why they're always happy to send staff, you know, and support events over there.
Yeah, they like to see it spread and grow.
I'm not saying it's like a mainstream thing, but it's certainly, the audience probably is the same as it was back in the heydays, just spread over a few different countries. And they're obviously getting money from it. Do you not think there's 17 million people in the world that watch Coronation Street?
I don't know, because I don't know how many people watch it in Canada, because outside of the UK and Canada, I wouldn't say that many other people watch it. I don't think it's that big. And if, say, we get 7 or 8 million a week in the UK, there's not going to be 10 million people in Canada that watch it.
It's not, but I think that... I don't see how they could finish Coronation Street.
No, but if the ratings in the UK ever did get so low that ITV made the drastic decision to do it, I don't think that the fact that there's a growing audience in Canada would stop them from doing it. I don't think that, as much as they like the Canadian fans,
I agree with you.
I don't think they'd give them two hoots if they wanted to cancel.
I agree with you, but I'm saying it probably does bring in some revenue for ITV.
Oh, it's probably one of ITV's biggest money earners by far. I mean, it's not a phone-in competition, X Factor kind of thing where it earns lots of money that way. But
and I also think that people in the industry care about things like soaps and other traditional formats. Everyone knows the money is in reality television and like game shows because they don't cost anything to put on, and people are the entertainment.
Yeah,
but there's no craft there,
isn't it?
There's no skill involved in it.
Well, not much, not as much.
There's no skill. You think there's a skill in reality television?
Yeah, they've got to plan the tasks that the Big Brother housemates have got to do. Then there was a good task this week on Big Brother. So
okay.
That was... I know you're right, and there'll always be.
You know,
people that
watch some reality television myself, but I'm saying the thing is, there's the people who are in charge. This is why that we still have things like Poirot and stuff like that. People care about the craft of television and television as a medium. You can see that just by watching the various documentaries they have about it. People are passionate about it. Nobody goes into television to prepare vats of gunge for Big Brother contestants to throw on each other. People will always want to work on soaps.
Yeah.
And there'll always be like big name actors and stars who make their names in soaps.
Yeah. And Coronation Street is arguably the most iconic British programme that's ever been made.
Yeah.
Especially and on ITV.
He says, oh, there'll be no such thing in soaps in 10 years' time. That's absolute nonsense. What does that even mean? How do you define a soap anyway? Because there have been countless soaps. I mean, things like that's a soap. It depends.
It was at a time, wasn't it? I think he was saying that he doesn't think that the likes of Coronation Street, Emma Daly, EastEnders, Hollyoaks, maybe there won't be doctors in 10 years' time.
I don't think you're right. I think there's plenty of things they can do on doctors.
I think it was a very silly statement to make.
I think he just wants to get people talking. We have been talking about him.
Yeah, oh, we fell for his trick.
Russell!
It's because he's making three new programmes that he's going to show on Channel 4 next year. And we've just given
are they
him
soaps?
No, but they are all about gay people. Isn't one of them one of the things that Julie Hesmanhalgh is doing?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, we can promote it then. No shame in promoting
this is obviously an example of where somebody's asking him a very leading question that then makes him sound a lot more bothered about this than he actually is.
Yeah.
I can't believe he stays up at night thinking, how are we going to see gay people on the television if there are no soaps? Especially the way that the characters like Marcus are being portrayed on Coronation Street. I don't think that would be any bad thing. You've got Todd, Sean and Marcus
are
Curry at the
moment,
aren't
they?
Yeah, but Todd and Marcus are both infuriating.
Yeah, Marcus only recently though. I suppose Todd only recently because he's only been back.
Yeah, but don't forget
recently,
that up until recently Marcus was being straight.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
And we had Sophie and we've got Sophie and Maddie, I suppose, but really, we want to get to the stage where it doesn't matter. Nobody really cares whether they're characters gay or straight. It's just part of the storyline. That's what you want it to be like.
I think that Russell T Davies wants that as well, because when he did those Doctor Who episodes, he tried to have higher ratio of gay characters in it than you might expect. And weren't necessarily ready for that.
You only expected there to not be any gay characters because you just automatically assume that everyone is straight, and it would never come up normally. And he tried to force it into situations where you wouldn't ever question somebody's sexuality.
Yeah.
But then it is probably wrong to just assume everybody is straight.
Mm.
And it is good to challenge and have people that challenge those notions. And I think that he got bashed quite a lot for it. And it was kind of like made fun of, really, in a way, because it felt like it got taken to extremes.
He will be looked back as a pioneer.
He is a pioneer.
I wouldn't want him to take over Coronation Street or anything like that, though.
I think he should do a guest episode.
Yeah, he could
do
that.
Why don't they do
that? I bet he watches it.
Why don't they start, instead of having actors guest starring, why don't they have a few
actors
directors,
guest directing.
Directors, different directors doing it. Like, who's the guy that did Alien?
Ridley Scott.
He should do one.
Yeah, or Steven Spielberg.
Just imagine Deirdre sort of inching down the corridor towards the door where there's a shadowy figure standing on the side going, Ken, is that you?
If only Alfred Hitchcock had stood
open
alive,
the door!
this discussion is... That was quite good. That's I think it's run its course. We think that was a silly quote, but like many of the quotes that we spend ages talking about, it was probably out of context a little bit or blown out of proportion.
We've got to talk about controversial things, don't we, so that people can write in.
Yeah, Controversation Street.
Yes.
Let's have some feedback.
Feedback time. We've got an email.
Yes, this is
Gail.
An email from Gail.
She says, Hi Gemma and Michael, I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed your 100th podcast. I loved hearing Rob and Joel's input. I agreed 100% with all of Rob's comments. Not to brag, but I took divorce quiz and scored 18.
18 is our highest score we've heard so far, so well done Gail. I think we know who we're going to get if we do another little one of these quizzes.
But she says, I have an unfair advantage as I have been a viewer for about 38 years.
Well, that just means you've got more knowledge to cram into your head and there's more likely to be more that falls
more
out.
More cross contamination.
Yeah, so 18 out of 30 was pretty good. I like that. Can anyone beat it?
I got 48.
You would have got like 2 or 3 probably.
Yeah, I think I got like 6.
Yeah, no, you got some. It was good.
I got some. Devor said, the bracelet. Well, we're talking about the bracelet.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't remember what it was.
The bracelet that who picked it up?
Eccles.
Eccles found it. Deirdre put it in the kitchen. Devor said, the bracelet was Steph's, and Deirdre had it in the kitchen cleaning it, wiping all the prints off it. Tracy claimed it and wore it, so hers are on it. Then Peter picked it up and moved it, putting his fingerprints on it, probably forgetting he even saw it there at all. But it's evidence, right? This was the bracelet that Rob picked up during the pretend burglary after he had pushed Tina off the balcony, and he tried to make it look like a break-in, didn't he? And he picked up a bracelet.
Yeah, I think this is asking a bit too much for the viewers to be able to follow that. I mean,
I remember he picked up a bracelet, but I never would have connected it with that unless I'd read Tavor's.
And the fact that they didn't mention it this week at all, and maybe next week or the week after, we'll be back again. I think people will be left scratching their heads a little bit, or there's going to be some over-the-top explaining.
In my mind, all of this has been building up to sort of the end event, which is Rob is arrested. But now I'm starting to think it's building up to a court case, and I don't know why I never thought that there would be a trial, because obviously loads of Coronation Street crimes end up in a courtroom. And I never really thought about it, but I can just imagine there being this bracelet passed around in the courtroom, can't you?
Well, going, that's gonna be now.
Do you recognise this piece of evidence? Oh, it's my bracelet. What's it doing there?
Yeah. So thank you for letting us know about that, Tivo, and hopefully I'm sure that's helped some viewers out as well who might have been confused about what that was.
Very confused.
She also goes on to talk a bit about Alia, saying that she has a degree in textiles, as we mentioned. How much do you want to bet she'll be working for the factory as a designer before long? Quite possible. Did you say that, Gemma? Yeah, Gemma's pointing at herself and nodding her head proudly.
I agree. I thought that as well. Because it's a bit confusing with the factory, because at the moment they just seem to be a manufacturer who get designs sent in by different people.
They have been designers in the past.
But in the past, they have produced lines, because I remember Carla talking about it.
Was it Carla that had like the children's clothes line, or someone had children's clothes there for a little bit? I can't remember.
No, I don't remember, but
I'm thinking that way back Angie Freeman worked at the factory, and she was a fashion designer as well, I think. So
see, I'm conflicted, because I always like it when characters bring something new to a role or a business or something. So I would like a character to come in who then had a degree in textiles and would be a designer. I just don't like Alia.
Maybe you'll grow to love her.
I hope I grow to like her.
I just don't like factory storylines, because really there's like 3 storylines that can be done in the factory, and they just recycle them over and over again. Like, most of the time it is the factory is on the brink of bankruptcy. Now they're going off for a meeting. That's just like all that ever happens
it
in the factory.
Weird, because you never get this with like the cabin. Like, oh, we've got to be careful how we do the boiled sweets.
Well, they don't.
We're losing
the cabin
out.
Stories. The cabin stories are really just stories about Rita or stories about Norris. They're not stories about the cabin. But the factory stories are stories about the factory, aren't they? And they just haven't got enough to go around. Every so often, they'll have something interesting happen, like when what's her face, that Polish woman fell down the stairs and died, and they had to cover it up. Or they'll have a fire or something. But yeah, factory stories really bore me, but they can't get rid of the factory, can they?
They get stuck in a rut, they panic, and they think, we've got to make a storyline about business.
I would.
No one cares about
business. I do wonder if, and here's my 10-year thing, Russell T. Davis, will there ever be a time when there's not a factory in Coronation Street? Because there have been times when there haven't been factories there. I mean, it was the Glad Tidings Mission Hall at the beginning, and I think it was, and then there was Maisonettes at one point.
Well, the thing is, there was a Mary Porters, who is a British sort of spokesperson, kind of designer, kind of, I don't really know what she is, but she did a programme where she tried to bring back knicker manufacturing to England, because there was no knicker factory, nobody was making underwear in England, that's what she said. And so she brought back a factory to make knickers. And
so
they
Underworld
never,
doesn't actually exist.
No, Underworld's not real. I was shocked. But I remember watching the documentary and they never once mentioned Coronation Street having a knicker factory. It was bizarre. But yeah, I mean, the very fact that there was even a documentary saying how bizarre it was and how difficult it was. Because basically, the knickers that they ended up making, I think they had to charge £10 or £15 a pair just because it was so expensive for all the labour costs compared to China. They never talk about, international
competition.
No, they never do.
No, there's always seems to be plenty of suppliers that are willing to go to this.
Who
Manchester
would be able to afford to pay English wages for things like, especially the stuff that they seem to make looks like the sort of thing you'd buy in Primark.
I wonder whether if they're going to keep the factory, whether they could totally reinvent it and not make it a clothes factory.
Why should it be? Yeah,
because it's been a denim factory in the past, and it's been the raincoat factory was there or thereabouts. But it'd be interesting to if
factory.
They yeah just like some food factory.
I tell you what,
anything,
yeah, a bloody cake factory.
Yeah, so just
something
to change it up a bit.
Something that you have to make in England, 'cause you have to make things like, confectionery and like fresh goods like that have to be made in the country because you can't ship them from China.
Yeah, I think it really needs that.
The amount of cakes they go through, it probably would be a bad idea because then none would come out.
Maybe when Carla finally leaves or whatever, that'll be a chance to change it up a bit.
It would also probably be a bit more interesting too because at the moment they all just sit behind desks and it is kind of like there might as well be a call centre, you know, because they're all sitting behind their individual desks.
Yeah.
And like Kirk maybe and Michelle walk up and down. But if they worked on a proper factory, like a conveyor belt, you could have people walking around and then you could have oh no, the cream machine broken and all the cream's gone off.
That reminds me of that I Love Lucy scene, is it?
Oh yeah, where she's eating all the cakes that are coming off. Classic! Think of all the physical comedy. I mean, the most exciting thing that's happened so far with the machinery was when
his fingers got stitched up.
There's only so many times you can do that.
So I'm bored of the factory, but
everyone's bored of the factory storylines. Even the writers, you can hear it.
I think it's because it's all business orientated, and Coronation Street is about like families and working class kind of people, and when they say we're off for a business meeting with McNeil,
it doesn't really fit in with the rest of the show. And I don't believe for 1 minute that Michelle is ever a hard nosed businesswoman in a meeting. Can you? Well, she goes, you better make an order. And they go, okay, 100 pairs.
Tibor finished off her email this week saying that I think Ken is going to have a very big shock when he comes back. Did you notice that during the phone call, Deirdre just told him that everything was fine? I don't think she's told him about Peter's affair, descent into drinking, Tina's death, and that Peter and Carla seem to be suspects on alternative days. I think you must be right, because if she has told Ken this, really he should be back in Weatherfield by now. He's not that bad of a father.
He is a bit.
Well, he did abandon his children up in Scotland for how many years? But anyway, I think if he knows what's going on and he's still busy eating maple syrup, then it'll be a bit of a shock, and I'm sure there'll be much wincing when he arrives back.
Peter!
Got to be soon. I think it's going to be in the next month that we'll get to see Ken.
How exciting!
Very exciting. Right, and that is it for another Conversation Street. If you've got anything to say about this week's episodes, then you can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com or leave a message on our blog at conversationstreet.podbean.com. Leave us a review on iTunes if you think we're okay or good. And you can follow us on Twitter. We're at conversationstru, and search for us on Facebook as well. And we had a new Twitter and Facebook follower today, but I can't remember your name. But thank you for liking us and following us. So that's it. Any final words from Gemma?
No,
that's it. See you next week. I'm going to a work dinner next Friday, so we might be late next week's episode.
I have to do it myself.
No, we'll wait, but yeah, it might be a Sunday episode.
You're going by yourself? It's not fair. What am I gonna do?
You can have a Friday evening off where you don't have to do podcasting.
No, but I'm
going to
be all by myself.
Oh. Get a pizza.
I don't get to have work, Steve.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Anyway,
let's sort of take this...
Let's take this domestic off the air.
Yeah.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.